longest running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Good morning and welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Special Monday edition for those of you tuning in live online. If you're on demand or in national syndication, we are at the normal time. But special Monday edition because I am headed to Charlotte Motor Speedway tomorrow when we would normally be doing the show. But I headed to Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm going to be doing a bunch of General Tire ARCA 150 interviews and some NASCAR Cup interviews. They got that big General Tire ARCA 150 Thursday, as well as Coke 600 qualifying. So we will be there in the flesh at Charlotte Motor Speedway, getting everything, getting some of these young, talented drivers dialed in on the show. So looking forward to that. I know entry list for that one's going to be big, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. We got bigger fish to fry right now, and that being the Indy 500. Yes, Indy 500 is upon us. I was out at the GP a couple of weeks ago, was watching qualifying from home, and it did not disappoint. And we're going to talk about that in the next couple of segments, man. I got to tell you, this has got to be one of the most exciting weekends in all of motorsport, and it's not even a race. It's literally that gripping. I'm really excited to get into that. We're going to talk about that. We've got a lot to talk about in regards to the Indy 500. We've got guests, Connor Daly, Zach Veach, Alexander Rossi, all three Andretti drivers. Big shout out to Andretti for getting them locked and loaded on the show. Man, we also had Pro Motocross, NHRA, All-Star Coke or NASCAR race. We got the Baja 500 coming up. Man, we got a ton to talk about today on the show. Definitely not going to disappoint. If you're a fan of all things motorsport, today is the show for you. So as always, man, hit me up on if you got any questions for our guests, any questions for me at JimBeaver15 on social media. We'll also have Chris Leone calling in. We're going to get power rankings locked in, and I got to tell you, it's a wild week for power rankings this week as well. So we're all across the board here today. It's going to be a big, big show right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud, dirt, and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3 from General Tire. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. General Tire, aggressive styling with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Oh man, that was a hell of a ride.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Cheaper than a funeral, but you know what? There was a lot of funerals yesterday on Game of Thrones. Oh, you like how I slid that in there. You knew we were going to talk about some kind of Game of Thrones today. Yeah, first off, check out MyMedic, my good friends over there, MyMedic.com, coupon code JimBeaver. They got first aid kits for any and everything, literally everything across the board. So check them out, tailor make them for whatever you do. Good stuff. But yes, Game of Thrones. I know this is a motorsports show. We talk whatever the hell we want to talk about on this one, though. And you know, I've invested like a decade of my life into this show, and I'm not one of those idiots that went and said, oh, you know, what was there, like a million people? They actually had a million people sign a form that said, you know, that basically said, we want the whole season 8 to be completely redone. You know what I mean? And I don't know. This season has kind of been weird. Like, it started out slow the first 2 episodes. And then, you know, it transitioned into, you had the big battle with the White Walkers. And then, you had Daenerys just go crazy with her dragon and blow everything up. And then it transitioned to this last episode. Like, they rushed everything for season 8. And I don't know. It's just weird. I'm not going to be like, I don't want to say I was let down, because the show, man, it's always been based on shock value and not doing what you expect them to do, which I got that. I was like, you know, whoever ends up on the throne is not going to be who we want it to be, who we expect it to be. They're going to throw a curveball. But just the way they got to it, I think they needed one more season to properly tell the story. I felt like it was really, really rushed. I also realized that every single episode is like making a motion picture. So I don't know. It was just, I don't know. To me, it was kind of weird. Wasn't crazy the way, you know, I kind of felt like I was, as a fan, just kind of left hanging there. I don't know if you haven't seen it yet or seen the finale. You guys are probably going to hate me because I just basically spoiled everything. Well, I guess I haven't really given too much up, but, I don't know. It's just, kind of weird, right? It's you as a fan invest like 10 years into something, and like, I don't feel like we got the payoff. I just don't feel like the payoff was there. And I don't necessarily think it needed to be who I wanted to, but I just think that the way they, the way these character arcs ended in the case of certain people, it was just like, eh, like it, I just felt like it left a bad taste in my mouth. Not that they did wrong. I just don't, I don't know. It's just weird, but I know the internet's talking about Game of Thrones. You guys don't need me to sit here for a 2-hour motorsport show and talk more about it. The one thing I can tell you, though, is anybody can take anything from this, whether you're a podcaster, a YouTuber, a motorsport series. Like, literally, they came in, they flipped the script on an entire genre. They did everything that you weren't supposed to do. They made people uncomfortable. You know, they pissed people off. And, you know, sometimes you got to do that. And obviously, you know, this is HBO. You got to pay, what, $15 a month for this channel? And people literally started paying $15 a month to watch this show that comes out once every 2 years for 6-8 episodes. Like, to me, that's massive. Right? So HBO obviously figured something out there. They created must-see TV, literally, you know? So, Game of Thrones over. I think at some point I'm going to watch that, like, start to finish all the way through, because I'm sure I missed a ton of stuff over the course of the series. But good stuff, man. I absolutely love that show. So well written and just amazing. And I haven't read any of the books, so... but yeah, Game of Thrones is done, and this was a massive day yesterday. Game of Thrones and Indy 500 qualifying. Like, can you actually have more epicness in one day as we had yesterday? Like, for real, man, that's, like, insane. And then I guess if you're a pro wrestling fan, because I do interview some pro wrestlers here and there on one of my other shows, Project Action, like, they had a pay-per-view, too, on Sundays. So, man, it was crazy, crazy day. And Indy 500 qualifying, we're going to get into dissecting things. We've got a press conference we're going to air a little bit of with Fernando Alonso from yesterday. That'll come up in the next segment. Obviously, a ton of Indy 500 drivers that we have interviews with that I did out at the GP. But I just have to say, like, I know there has been a lot of talk about qualifying and bumping and certain guys and certain teams not getting into the show, and especially going back, and it's happened over the course of history. There's years where Penske got bumped out, you know, and teams like that. But Hinch last year, that was a big one. And Hinch is a friend of mine. I can't say friend, but we know each other. And, you know, he's always been a big supporter of the show, always does interviews, you know, things like that. Always so much fun to catch up with, as you heard from our interview last week. But I know that was a big deal when Hinch didn't qualify and left a bad taste in people's mouth. But I got to tell you the one thing about the Indy 500, it is the absolute most pure motorsport or pure race on the planet. There is no politics. There, you know, everybody is treated equal. This is an event where a kid named Kyle Kaiser and a team called Junkos Racing that doesn't have a lot of money can put together a car. They can go out and they can slay the dragon that is McLaren and Fernando Alonso and send Alonso back home. Like, how, and I'm not saying, and I'm an Alonso fan, but I'm saying, like, how awesome is that where everybody comes in as an equal? NASCAR, do they have that? Nope. You know, you're guaranteed a spot in the Daytona 500, but you just got to run the whole series or this and that. Please, please, please keep Indy the pure spectacle that it is. That way, if you, you know, if you can scrape together enough money to buy a Dallara chassis and a Chevrolet or a Honda engine and buy a set of Firestone tires, you can go to the Indy 500 and you can field an entry. You know, granted, you got a competent driver. And you can make a go at it. They're not going to promise you're going to get in the show, but they're going to give you an opportunity to get in the show. And I think that's what makes Indy so special. It is the most pure form of motorsport. Car manufacturers, there's not all, you know, if it, you know, obviously they've got Chevy and they've got Honda, and I know there's rumors about Porsche swirling, and I've heard Mazda and Fiat and all these other, you know, manufacturers, you know, whether it be Ford or Toyota or whoever it is, if they want to come in and run the Indy 500, I mean, IndyCar would open them without open arms, but, you know, they can get, it's like NASCAR, man, they've got all these hoops. If Nissan, you know, if Nissan wanted to go and build a NASCAR engine, NASCAR ain't going to let them in. Or one of these other manufacturers. IndyCar, it's open arms. Like, hey, you know, you got to meet these certain regulations and specs, right? You got to be able to, you know, field X amount of engines. But, like, it's open to any manufacturer. There's not a closed door there, right? Formula One, is it? They say they're open to everybody, but, gosh, nobody can afford that cost of entry. So, you know, it's just things like that. You know, IndyCar is very much like off-road racing, where it's still – it's a refined version of the Wild West. And, you know, and obviously there's spec chassis now and things like that, but – like, it's anybody's game. Anybody can come in. Everybody is treated fair and equal. And that's what I love about the Indy 500. That is what I love about IndyCar. But the Indy 500, I mean, it's just so, so pure. And I think the worst thing they could do, and I know that teams, they sell sponsorship based on the Indy 500, and it's a massive, massive deal if you don't get in the field like Hinch last year. But that's what makes the Indy 500 the Indy 500. That's why it's the greatest spectacle in racing. That's why it's been around for 100 years. It's because everybody knows when the month of May rolls around, anything can and will happen. That's when you get the Kyle Kaisers of the world qualifying in. Amazing story. That's when you get the McLarens of the world, who everybody thought that they were going to be a threat to, you know, to take a top 10. And you've got arguably one of the greatest drivers of all time driving your car, and they are sent packing. Anything can happen at the Indy 500. That's when you got a guy like James Hinchcliffe, who I absolutely adore. The guy didn't make it last year, and he was on the bubble, and he was sweating it, but he fought and fought and fought, and he got in. This is where you get the backdoor deals. You got teams, you know, helping each other out behind the scenes, and, hey, you know, we need to get you in. And that's when you got drivers like, you know, Matty Brabham, who he's always hanging around the paddock there. He's trying to get a ride. He's got a little bit of money. Like, hey, let me in. Put me in, coach. Like, there is so much fun and excitement just around everything that happens with the Indy 500. Like, I think it would be such a shame to go and guarantee spots into the field. Like, for one race a year globally, we have an every person created equal scenario, and we cannot lose that by going to guaranteed spots regardless of what the teams want. I don't think it's ever going to go to that, but I'm just saying, like, man, that's what made yesterday must-see TV. Everybody was tuned in. Everybody wanted to know what was happening, and man, it was just an amazing, amazing show. So we have to take a short break. We come back, we're definitely going to have a whole lot more on the Indy 500 right here when we return to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BR, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Just talking about this little race coming up called the Indy 500. And yeah, we will get into talking a little bit more about that and some of the shenanigans that happened there on bump day. But do have to switch gears just a hair here. Got to talk about NHRA real quick. And just, man, this is one of those, like, I'm an off-road kid. And you guys know this. Like, I grew up, you know, in the deserts watching my dad race off-road trucks. I raced trophy trucks, you know, and growing up around Robbie Gordons and Ivan Stewarts of the world and Walker Evans and, you know, watching those guys, right? So it was NHRA, IndyCar. It was that stuff I watched on TV with Dad on Sundays, but, you know, I really didn't get it. And been very fortunate through my career now, the past, you know, almost decade now, doing this media work to really get friends in the IndyCar community and in the NHRA community and be invited out to events and things like that. So last week when I was in Indy, my good friends at Don Schumacher Racing, you know, I've got really good friends on the team, Leah Pritchett, Antron Brown, Ron Capps. You know, they invited me and Chris from my media manager out to their place. And I got to tell you, I posted up a bunch of pictures, but if you haven't been, and I've been to IndyCar shops and NASCAR shops and things like that, but I got to tell you, it is absolutely mind-blowing. The technology, and I think a lot of people see these cars and they just think, oh, big engine going a straight line, boom, done. Like, I got to tell you, seeing what I saw at Don Schumacher Racing, Holy crap. I mean, they've got a fleet of, you know, a fleet of haulers, a fleet of race cars, but going in and seeing their engine shop, and I definitely suggest you guys go to my Instagram at JimBeaver15. Check it out about a week and a half ago. Like, they have these crazy, I mean, machines. They're you know, got huge chunks of aluminum. They're making blocks, you know, and heads for race cars just custom in their, you know, in their shop. Like, it's crazy the amount of technology that goes in. You see these cars and the aerodynamics and very much, I mean, to go 330 miles an hour, it's, you know, just like an IndyCar, man. It's crazy the tech that goes into these. But I mean, looking at, you know, I know NHRA is about ready to hit their big summer stretch here where they're just back to back. And I got to say, though, some outstanding performances this weekend. My boy Steve Torrence, you know, he's found his mojo, and you definitely want to look out when Steve Torrence has got his mojo. Him and the Capco boys have a good time. And then Ron Capps, I got to tell you, there's, you know, he ran, and I know he announced it. What was it, last week on the show when we had him, or 2 weeks ago? You know, they ran that special one-off Napa Brakes paint scheme. It's because the month of May, Napa's having a big promo on brakes. And then he went and won with that scheme in Atlanta. And so they're like, oh, hey, you know, let's run that again. Now he's 2 for 2 with his paint scheme. I got to think this May month-long promotion, they need to – I'm thinking they need to switch up Alexander Rossi's livery right now and make him in the gold and black for the Indy 500, because Caps is sure having a hell of a lot of luck with that paint scheme. But, I mean, just – it was a wild, wild event this past weekend in Virginia with Caps, Torrence, and then just Andrew Hines, Bo Butner. It's just – it's wild. There's just some dominating efforts in NHRA right now. And it's one of those, like, I don't think television gives NHRA justice for the product that's actually out on track, because you don't really get to witness how fast they're going. And I think it's the same thing with IndyCar. I think that's probably one of the toughest sells in motorsports in general. You know, I don't think TV relays the speeds that they're actually achieving. You know, you go to Indy 500 and you stand on pit lane and you watch a car go by, it's like zoom, zoom. And you honestly, you can't turn your head fast enough. You know, go and look. Like, I was on the pagoda at Indy, and I posted a video of Rossi going over the yard of bricks, and I had to slow motion it so you could actually see it with my cell phone. You know, it's crazy. And even at slow motion, it's still really, really quick. And I think maybe that's probably one of the biggest, toughest sells I think that motorsports has in general. You know, I think motocross, supercross, that's an easy sell, right? Not an easy sell, but I think people, you know, jumping triples like in that high in the air, like, I think it puts things into perspective, right? And I think that's kind of action sports too, right? You backflip a BMX bike, people get that. I don't think people get 230 plus miles an hour at Indy. They don't get 330 plus miles an hour in that short of distance in NHRA. And I think that's probably one of the big tough things is like, how do you relay that unless you're at on site at the actual track? I don't think that people get it. You know, the thing is like, kids growing up, basketball, you can watch an NBA game, right? We all know how hard it is to get that ball into that hoop. Same with NFL. Like, if, you know, if a running back's running and all of a sudden he gets completely laid out by a linebacker and he's laying flat on his back, like, you can understand what happened. Like, that guy just got leveled. Same with fighting, right? You get knocked out. Wow, I get it. Auto racing, like, unless you're, you know, have been to the racetrack, the casual fan tuning in, like, I don't think that they quite understand, one, the speeds, two, the skill it takes to drive a race car at those speeds. I think, you know, that's maybe, you know, and I say that because you compare, you know, you got to talk about, you know, NASCAR, the big 10,000 pound gorilla, and their ratings are obviously, they're going down, but they still pale in comparison to something like the NFL. And, you know, and you wonder, why is that? You know, well, I think there's just that disconnect there. If you're a car person, or, you know, or you're a race fan and you've been to the track and you understand these things, it's a little bit easier to grasp, and those are the people tuning in. But I think the casuals, I think it's really, really difficult. you know, for them to get that. You know, I just don't think they quite understand what's going on in track, so it makes it hard for them to want to tune in for 3 hours and watch something that they can't connect with, because they, I don't think that they actually, you know, you hate to say this, but, you know, auto racing, I mean, it's very, very scary. You put on the helmet, and it's, and as good as safety has gotten, there's still that life and death risk to it. But, I think there's a, I don't know that fans kind of get that, like, because I think race car drivers also make it look so easy. I mean, you watch these drivers wrestle these cars, you know, at Indy. I mean, those cars are not easy to drive. I mean, you've got Fernando Alonso. He struggled, right? I mean, here's one of the best drivers in the world having a hard time driving this car 230 miles an hour around the track, right? But he still, he looked really, really good. He, even at 200 and, you know, low 220s, he looked really, really fast. And so here's a guy who's struggling, one of the best drivers in the world, but he's still, to the casual person tuning in, they're like, why is he so slow? He looks great, right? They don't understand the small nuances of it, you know? So I don't know. It's just one of those things. I think auto racing's at this weird spot where I think, and I don't know, you know, once you get out to a track, people are hooked. But it's like, how do you get people to, you know, how do you get them out for that first big hook? You know what I mean? Like, and this isn't IndyCar. This isn't NHRA. This isn't any particular series. This is just in general. You know, and I think, you know, obviously places like Long Beach and Indy that are a fanfare experience, IndyCar's done a phenomenal job. So is NHRA. Both of them sell out. And meanwhile, NASCAR's having a tough time doing the same thing. But they're very much about the fan experience, and, you know, they add more so people come out. So even if you don't like the racing, you're going to like the concert, or you're going to like something that was going on, the festival atmosphere. So I big credit to NHR and IndyCar for what they've done on those, in those regards. But I don't even know where this whole rant has gone. But it's just kind of me brainstorming, you know, because I look at the ratings and I look what we saw yesterday at the Indy 500 at qualifying. I mean, that, you know, that was as much must-see TV, as much drama as the Game of Thrones finale, right? And people have been building for 10 years to watch that, right? Ratings are through the roof. Indy qualifying, there was as much drama built into that as there was in this Game of Thrones finale. So how do we take that drama? How do we package it? And how do we get people invested in that drama? You know, granted, there's millions of people invested now, but how do you get to that next mark? How do you get to the tens and 20s and 30s and millions of people tuned in to watch that? Like, what's the next step for auto racing? You know, we've got these marquee, massive, massive events. How do we turn the Indy 500, which is going to have crazy TV ratings, but how do we get that to the next step? How do we get Super Bowl numbers out of the Indy 500? Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, Indy 500 is going to blow the roof off of ratings, especially this year. But how do we get to that next step? And I don't know the answer to it, you know? I really don't know, unless you start giving away free tickets. But then free tickets has its own problem, right? You know, because you got to have get people there to get them invested, to get them to go and want to watch when they get home. Well, once you start giving away free tickets, then it dumbs down. Then it dumbs down what people are like, oh, well, nobody must want to go because they're giving out free tickets, right? So it's like a double-edged sword there. You want to get people there, but you give away free tickets. And not that IndyCar needs to, because they're having no problem selling tickets. But it's just, I don't know. We're in a weird spot in motorsport. I think there's more. That's what I'm saying. I think we can take this whole thing to the next level. I've got my ideas. Maybe that's a podcast that we should do at some point. You know, I've got my theories on how to take auto racing that next step. But sometime down the line, I guess. But yeah, we didn't get to the Alonso segment. We'll probably get to that later on in hour number two. But right now we're going to take a short break, and we come back, I'm going to have power rankings with Chris Leone right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by, that's right, Polaris Razor.
I'm
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out VisionWheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with Chris Leone, my man from the website, and I guess also iRacing and a few various different caps. But Chris, man, we got power rankings today. We only got one segment because we've got a really big show, but This was a pretty. I know we talk about the next 2 weeks are really big in motorsports, but I'm looking down the list of series running, and man, this was a pretty big one.
Oh boy, Jim. I mean, you know, it's crazy. This might actually be one of the more underrated motorsport weekends, you know, in the month of May. Everybody knows what's coming this coming weekend. You know, the 500, the 600, Monaco, on and on and on. But you know, you had Indy 500 qualifying, and we had plenty of drama there. The NHRA resumed its season, heading down to Virginia. Pro Motocross kicked off. Lucas Oil Off-Road was down in Mexico for its only round outside of the U.S. I mean, there was a lot to talk about, and there was a lot to watch.
Yeah, you know, and maybe it's because, like, you know, with the case of IndyCar, it's actually qualifying for the Indy 500. You even had drivers say it, though, on TV. They're like, hey, this is like, you know, Simon Pagenaud goes, this is like a win. He's like, you get on the pole at Indy, he's like, it's a race in itself. I mean, that's why they dedicate a whole weekend to just qualifying into the big show, you know. And then NASCAR, in the case of NASCAR, it's their all-star race. So, you know, and in the case of like NBA and NHL and things like that, like, usually all-star games are kind of crummy. I hate to say that, but they are. Kind of everybody puts in a half-ass effort. But in the case of NASCAR, there's a lot of money on the line, so it actually becomes a really good race. And in the case of this one, we actually saw fist fights. So, yeah, there was lots to talk about. Like you said, I think it's an underrated weekend, mainly because it's qualifying for Indy and it's an all-star race, and it's not necessarily point-scoring races. But anybody that knows motorsports knows these are still pretty damn big.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's kind of a tough one to do power rankings for. And, you know, with that in mind, I got to say that I actually left the NASCAR guys off of my power rankings just because it was an all-star race. But you got to give a shout out to both Kyle Larson for winning the $1 million and Bubba Wallace for taking home a top five when he really needed it. But, you know, power rankings is what we're here for. And I just want to kick it off right in number five and, give a shout out to Kyle Kaiser and Juncos Racing. I mean, David beats Goliath is always one of the coolest stories in motorsports, and wow, did David beat Goliath on Sunday? Because if you can topple the mighty Fernando Alonso and McLaren, and you know, in Indy 500 qualifying, if you bump them out of the show, I mean, you deserve some love in the power ranking spot. And I mean, just think about everything that team has gone through just to be able to make it to Indy. They were only able to do one race to start the season. They've been struggling to find sponsors. You know, I can think of quite a few sponsors, though, on the sides of some of the cars that didn't make the show that might be wanting to give Kyle and Juncos Racing a call, though, to be able to get into the greatest spectacle in racing on Sunday.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with you at all on Kaiser. In fact, I've got him on my list, just not at the number five spot. So we'll have to get to that. But I completely agree with everything you said, Chris. For that reason, though, I've got number five on my list. And I know you and I talked beforehand. I really wanted to get a Lucas Oil driver into my power rankings this week. They had a big doubleheader event down there in Mexico. Honest truth, I know there's a few guys that had some good weekends. I haven't been able to see a full list of results. So for those reasons, I don't have the off-road guy here doesn't have an off-road guy on his list this week. But that opened up a spot, and I did go to NASCAR World, and I'm going to put as much as actually the power rankings, the fist fight between Newman and Bowyer, I honestly, that was probably the biggest story coming out of the NASCAR All-Star Race. I almost put the fist fight on my power rankings, but I didn't, and I did give the nod to Kyle Larson, who ended up actually taking home the big check, even though he didn't really get much. I don't think he got much coverage. I think I think Newman and Bowyer kind of stole the show, Chris.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, Jim. I mean, hey, anytime you got a fight in the pits, you know, especially when fighting the pits over a $1 million race, and we've seen plenty of those at the All-Star race before, I do have to say I was able to sneak a Lucas Oil off-road guy in. You know, like you, I had a hard time finding the results so far, but I did want to make sure that I got somebody in, so I started looking through on all the drivers' pages, and, I mean, we all know that Rob McCracken knows what he's doing when he heads south of the border, and that was exactly the case in Pro 2 this weekend. You know, at Estero, finished second the first day and won the second day, so a 2-1 weekend, a pretty good weekend. You know, I had to give Rob the nod in fourth place on my list.
Yeah, well, Rob, he never can argue with the living legend, Rob Mack. Coming in at number four, though, I'm going to go to the two-wheel side of things. Ken Roczen, massive, massive win for him. You know, he's back. You know, here's the guy that was supposed to be the prodigal or the prodigy of Supercross and basically motocross. We all know, you know, a couple years ago he had that crazy crash in Supercross, and you know, it's like he kind of got derailed again at one point. And you know, here's a guy literally, you know what I mean? It was supposed to be the torch pass from Ryan Dungey to Ken Roczen, and you know, and he just, between injuries and things like that, he just hadn't been able to put it all together. But now outdoors, Ken Roczen, round one, comes in, steals the show, takes the victory. I got to think that, you know, he's healthy now. Obviously, he's riding at an elite level. Super, super stoked to see Ken Roczen back on point. And so I've got Ken Roczen coming in at number four on my power rankings list, and I think he's shown, hey, I'm the guy to beat in outdoors this year.
And I'm right there with you, Jim, to the extent that Ken is my number three. 2-1 weekend is always a, well, 1-2 in Ken's case, is always a good way to start off the championship. And Adam Santiarulo did the same thing in 250. But just knowing the story of Ken Roczen's comeback, the injuries that he's gone through, you know, switching teams, and Honda's rewarded his efforts by extending him for a couple of years. And so he's got some security with his team. He's got some security on the bike. You know, he is definitely the leader on that team, and he is definitely one of the riders to beat outdoor and pro motocross. And it'll be interesting to watch him take the fight to Eli Tomac, because Eli has been the king of the outdoor schedule for the past couple of years now. But a healthy Ken Roczen, you know, it's going to be a really tough battle for that 450 crown this year, as long as both Eli and Ken are healthy. If they're both healthy and they're both riding at the top of their game, you know, I think it comes down to those two guys. With apologies to Cooper Webb, with apologies to Marvin Muskan, who really, you know, made it interesting last year, with apologies to Jason Anderson, because, you know, now that he's healthy, El Hombre, I'm sure, is going to be back in it. But, you know, I think it comes down to Tomac and Roczen, and Roczen drew first blood in the overall.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, actually an honorable mention I should mention, you know, because I don't know when we'd get to this. I didn't have him on my list, but switching over to MotoGP, I had him on my list earlier in the year at one point. But got to give an honorable mention out to Marc Marquez, who took the MotoGP victory this weekend in France. But even more importantly, Honda scored their 300th premier class victory in MotoGP. So I didn't have Marquez on my list, but just noted, you know, when your team or your manufacturer can score 300 MotoGP wins, which is the motorcycle equivalent of Formula One, it's a big deal. So big shout out to Marc Marquez, who wasn't on my list, but who is on my list at number three. I'm gonna go to Chris's number five guy, Kyle Kaiser. You know, it's funny because at my list, I've got one of the last row guys and I guess the pole sitter both on my list, and everybody in between is ignored. But man, Kyle Kaiser, like you said, David versus Goliath, you know, you've got probably the most well-funded team, and the most well-funded team, McLaren. I mean, they've got Gilda Farren, you know, calling the shots there. I mean, you know, obviously it's just a massive operation solely focused on Indy dominance. And they struggled for one reason or another. Arguably, they've got one of the greatest auto racing drivers in the entire world driving for him. We know he can run at Indy. We saw that 2 years ago with Andretti. Granted, the cars are a little bit different now. Not as much downforce. You know, it's a completely different feel. But you would think they would be able to put it together. They find themselves, you know, on bump day or getting ready to be bumped. And Kyle Kaiser, you know, we know their month of May, it's been crazy. They lost sponsors, they crashed a car. For him to come back and the most low fun, I would say Hunkos and Dragonfire are probably or Dragon Speed, excuse me. The Dragon Team, you know what I'm talking about. probably the most low funded teams, you know, for them to come back and you know, to bump Alonso out, like, you know, we were watching that at the race shop, and I'm actually a Alonso fan, but watching at the race shop, literally there were like, there was seven of us sitting there around the big TV in the race shop. And, we started cheering when Kaiser got in the field. Like, it was crazy. Like, here we are, Parker, Arizona, cheering this kid. I don't know. It's just an amazing story. Like you said, I got to have Kaiser on my list at number three. And you know what? I hope that guy can drive the wheels off of that car come next Sunday. And I would love to see him put it in the top 10 or something like that. I think it would just be remarkable. But Kaiser at number three, Chris.
Oh, and I wouldn't be surprised if they got a strong finish out of this, Jim. I mean, we've seen that plenty of times at Indy before, just some of these sort of last-minute, maybe shoestring efforts with some surprise strong finishes. And I am staying in Indianapolis for my number two. And we talked about the pole sitter being on, you know, you talked about him being on your list. He's on mine as well. Simon Pagenaud, I mean, you know, you win the IndyCar Grand Prix and then you win the pole for the 500. He's trying to be just the second guy to ever win the Grand Prix and the 500 in the same season. His Team Penske teammate Will Power did it last year. You know, Simon seems to have what it takes. I mean, you know, sometimes it gets easy to forget with all the talent that's at Team Penske that Pagenaud was the IndyCar champion in just 2016. And then things just kind of fell off for a little bit. But, you know, I think we saw from the Grand Prix that he's back. he's back with a vengeance, and I think he's going to be fighting towards the front of the pack for the rest of the season because, you know, obviously a win at Indy is going to give you some great momentum for the year. We haven't seen recently, I don't feel like, a lot of guys who win the 500 actually taking home the championship, but, you know, knowing the strength of Team Penske and knowing, you know, just how strong of a driver, especially in the wet and especially on road courses that Simon is, you know, I think if he, especially if he wins the 500, he's got to be in the championship conversation, and he may very well walk home with his second IndyCar title. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, we've got 500 miles on Sunday to run, but still.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with Simon. But on my number two on my list, I had a big dilemma here coming out of NHRA. I had a three-way tie for my second spot, and I didn't know. I honestly had no idea how to separate these guys. Steve Torrence, he's on a roll right now with wins. Ron Capps, he's on a roll right now with wins. And Bo Buttner, who I know he's made your list a couple times this year. This guy's on a roll. All three of them taking victories. All three of them on a roll. You look at their body of the work the past couple of weeks, it's all almost identical. I had no idea how to separate them, and I don't think I could because it wouldn't do justice to any of them. So at number two, I had a three-way tie with Torrence, Capps, and Bo Buttner all there in the second spot, Chris.
You know, and it's the funniest thing, Jim, because I have the same problem with my number one. I just gave it to the whole NHRA. Let's not forget Andrew Hines either, who is 4-for-5 in pro stock motorcycles so far this season. You know, but all of the guys who managed to take home Wally's in Virginia this weekend are all the guys who are at the top of their game. You know, I mean, we've been to the Don Schumacher Racing Shop quite recently, as a matter of fact. And, you know, we've seen the preparation that goes into that team to be able to get back towards the top of the funny car, you know, of the funny car world. And Ron going 2-for-2 with that Napa brake scheme. You know, I think at this rate, they're just going to have to run it the entire year. I mean, right. Steve-O's Steve-O. We all know from last year just how strong them Capco boys really are. Bo Buttner, I mean, I've talked about it to death. You know, he was going to be retired this year. He wasn't running this year, and now he's got 4 victories, and he is just spanking the field. And then Andrew Hines was winless last year, and now he's 4-for-5 this season.
Yeah.
You know, it's just Virginia was pretty much the ultimate showcase of the top drivers in their respective classes right now. With apologies to a couple, you know, Robert Height and Funny Car has been pretty spectacular. You know, but man, it has just been a really exciting NHRA season so far. And the more exciting part about it is once we head into the next couple of weeks, you know, they're running 4 or 5 events in about 6 weeks. So we are going to absolutely get our fill of drag racing in the coming, coming months.
Yeah. Well, we're running up against a commercial break. I will give my number one out. It was, as Chris mentioned before, Simon Pagenaud for all those reasons. So he was my number one. And we got to take a short break. And when we return, more here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the 2-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Just getting wrapped up with power rankings there and, I don't know, a lot of Indy 500 talk before the end. And, Got to tell you, man, next hour, we've got Connor Daly, Zach Veach, and my man, Alexander Rossi, a.k.a. Alex Rossi. They're all three going to be on the show, I guess, an Andretti takeover hour next hour. But, yeah, should be fun to catch up with all them. Those are all interviews I did last week out there on site at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And speaking of that, I don't know if you guys have already or not, but please go over to the website and check it out. It's on the front page right now. It's up on social media, the links and things like that. But we did a big e-magazine. It's an Indy 500 e-magazine. We did a magazine for the Indy 500. It's really, really rad. Chris laid it out. We did some kind of our picks for the race and things like that. I think it's already, I don't know, it's crazy the amount of clicks we've got to it already. Read times have been solid and things like that. So make sure and go and check it out. You know, it's going to be kind of our preview, but we actually did a full magazine for the Indy 500, you know, so I think you guys are going to enjoy that. Check it out. Really, really good stuff. So I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And you know, we're going to take a short break. We come back. We're going to have, a lot to talk about in hour number two right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud, dirt, and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3 from General Tire. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. General Tire, aggressive styling with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And it was a big weekend in motorsports. Obviously, we had Simon Pagenaud taking the big, I can't say the big victory. It's kind of a victory though at Indy, right? Qualifying on the pole for the Indy 500. We had Kyle Larson, big winner there at the NASCAR All-Star Race with a little bit of fireworks from Ryan Newman and Clint Bowyer. That's one of those. You guys go in this hour number two. We got a lot of chatting to do. Go and watch that video on NASCAR's Instagram. It's on their Twitter. It's I don't know. It's viral by now. But Bowyer runs up and starts punching Newman when he's in the car, and it's crazy. It's so bizarre. You're like, are we really, really watching this? And he still had his helmet on and everything. Like, it was, I don't know. Like, I kind of, like, man, seriously, if you're going to do this, like, let's let both guys get out, drop gloves, and swing like they do in, you know, in the NHL. Like, if you're going to fight, let's fight. Let's not do this kind of we want to act like a badass and kind of fight, but not really fight. Like, I'm like, if you're going to throw down, let's legitimately go toe-to-toe and throw down. It's one thing I will say about pro hockey. Pro hockey does it right. If you're going to do it, you're going to drop gloves, you're going to swing, and, you know, it makes it interesting. It doesn't quite work in NASCAR when guys got helmets and one guy's out of the car and one's still in the car and everything else. Like, oh, we want to fight, but we really don't. But yeah, so Kyle Larson taking that victory. We talked about NHRA. It was Hines, Bo Butner, Ron Capps, my boy Steve Torrence. They were all victorious. You had Ken Roczen is your big winner. In Supercross, Motocross, Adam C. and Cerullo, also victorious there in Pro Moto. Looking at Lucas Oil South of the Barber, I've got day one results here. It was Corey Weller in Turbo UTV, RJ Anderson at Pro 4, Brock Heeger taking a Pro 1000 win, Trevor Briska in Pro Buggy, Brock Heeger in Pro Light, and Jarrett Brooks in Pro number 2. That is right, Pro 2. He was a winner there in Pro 2, so... yeah, lots of action down there south of the border as well. I'm sure I'm missing out on some major motorsport event happening somewhere in this country. But, yeah, I don't know. So those are some of your big winners on the weekend. But we're going to take a short break. We come back. I don't know. We've got a lot of IndyCar interviews still to come right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally.
Host a Down and Dirty Radio Show and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Right in the middle of hour number two here, and getting ready to roll into things. And, you know, like I said, I was fortunate enough to be out at the Indy GP here a week ago, and I like to go out to that opening weekend. You know, it's kind of, you get a feel for the month of May. You know, people are finally just kind of starting to get the blood flowing and things like that. And, you know, I don't know, it's just... I really, really enjoy that Indy GP feel and atmosphere. Not quite as many people there. It's, you know, it's an iconic road course, Formula One race there and things like that. But it also gives me the opportunity to really catch up with all these drivers at the beginning of the month, really get into their head, find out what they're thinking, especially in the case of Connor Daly, who I had the opportunity to catch up with him. Obviously, he's driving for Andretti Autosport in the Indy 500 this year. And, you know, he's got an amazing story. He's become a good friend of mine the past couple of years, and I was able to catch up with him. So we're going to roll that interview with Connor Daly right now. All right, we're catching up here with good friend Connor Daly, who, man, I got to say, like, we've caught up a few times now, and it's, I feel like every time you've got a bigger smile on your face. I think this got to be, I don't know, it's a pretty fun month for you, because this thing was planned out, like, a while ago, right? You're coming into the Indy 500 this year, and, you know, you got a plan in place. You're with, you know, one of the best teams in the sport. You know, things got to be pretty solid for you, buddy.
Yeah, it's definitely we're in a better spot than we've ever been for a long time. So it's really, really cool. You know, and we knew before Christmas. You know, before Christmas, we were able to kind of be confident in the fact that we knew what we had going forward. And the U.S. Air Force has obviously been an incredibly loyal partner of mine, and you know, they stepped up in a big way. You know, their hashtag is aim high, and we're aiming as high as possible now with Andretti Autosport. So it's super cool to be here. This team is a group of some of my best friends, obviously, driver-wise, and a lot of the crew guys I've known for so long. And since I've not been full-time, I've pretty much been hanging out with this team, so I know most of the guys as well already. So it's super cool to be here. And obviously, you know, we have one job, and that's to try and win this race. You know, we have one shot at it, and I would obviously love to be at this team more often. But to do that, we probably have to have a really good race come May 26th.
Well, and that being said, I just heard earlier today on the broadcast, sounds like Michael Andretti is going to be in your pit during the race.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Michael was on my stand for the test a couple weeks ago too, and you know, I like Michael a lot. He's obviously you know, one of the most talented drivers that's been around this place. So he knows what's going on. He knows how it all works. So that'll be really cool. So it'd be cool to obviously get a win for him as well. Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to work with all these guys. There's such a very high level of professionalism, and all that they're doing is like nothing I've ever been a part of before. So it makes you even more excited.
Well, you know, let's talk about, you know, this year versus last year, and we'll talk about, you know, kind of the rest of your season. But, you know, I know last year, you know, you were one of those guys that were, you know, I know at one point you had to be pretty nervous in the car because you were on the bubble there, and you ended up qualifying in and things like that. I mean, knowing that, and it's in the back of your head, it's like, I know you got to be thinking, I don't ever want to have to go through that again, right? I mean, how do you approach this and having been through that war that you were last year?
Well, you know what's funny is, like, I think it'll be the entire opposite this year. You know what I mean? We want to be fighting for the fast nine now. I mean, because, you know, obviously depending on what engine manufacturer is going to be fastest, we obviously hope Honda is going to be really good. Last year, my car was doing the Grand Prix. You know, right now the Grand Prix is tomorrow, and my car that I was going to use on the oval had to go through the Grand Prix first, and then we missed the entire first day of practice because we were rewrapping it and setting it up, and it was, you know, in about 100 different pieces for a long time, and we had a lot of guys working on it, and they did a great job putting it together, but you never want to be in that position. You know what I mean? You want to come to the Indy 500 fully prepared and really ready early, and my car is fully put together, ready to go, sitting at the shop right now. So, you know, that'll be nice to start in that position, to already be ahead of the game, and that's why I'm so pumped for it, and that's why, like, I'm actually excited to qualify now. I'm excited to see, you know, hey, can we fight for the pole, or can we fight to be in the top nine? That would be awesome, and that's what our goal is, for sure.
Well, and, you know, talking about, you know, last year, I know after the Indy 500, you know, you thought it was just going to be a one-off. You ended up picking up a couple of IndyCar races later in the year. I mean, how was that just to get back behind the wheel, you know, a couple of road courses and things like that? I know, you know, you went from being a full-time driver to last year, you know, kind of doing a one-off. I mean, had to feel pretty good just to get behind the wheel. I know you had a really, really good run. I can't remember the track. Was it maybe Portland, I think?
Toronto.
Yeah, I can't remember. They're all blending together at this point. But, you know, that, you know, how was that? Then you kind of went from there and you were doing some sprint car stuff and some NASCAR stuff. Like, you were just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, I'll drive anything at any time. You know, it was cool last year to get that opportunity with Harding. I mean, to go out there and be able to, you know, throw it in the top 12 and get a really good race for them was awesome right off the bat. It was a confidence boosting thing for me because we knew that they obviously at the time didn't have the resources to be really, you know, where they wanted to be, and now they do. Now that, you know, now they're partnered with Andretti, which is awesome, and I was happy to sort of at least be a part of that move towards that direction. And yeah, man, I mean, I'll drive anything at any time, and I don't care what it is, and you know, that's what you have to do as a driver, certainly without that big financial backing behind you. So the goal is to do more IndyCar races for sure, but we got to start with this one. So depending on how this one goes, your year could go one of two different ways, and hopefully, you know, ours goes the right way, and we can, you know, do more races with this team.
And I got to ask, how was it jumping into a sprint car? Because I know that was one of those where you kind of felt like you're thrown to the wolves a bit. How was that?
It's totally different. Like nothing I've ever driven before. Totally the opposite of what I grew up doing, but a lot of fun. And I'm going to do more this year for sure. I think we're going to do something like Illinois Midget Week, I think, and then obviously the BC 39 again, and hopefully the Chili Bowl again, because that was just, it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun, a whole different type of driving, but I loved it.
So, I mean, you're sitting here, you're at the GP, you know, you're watching everything on track, you know, and obviously, you know, come, I guess, get a day off for Mother's Day, come Monday, it's like game on. It is qualifying week, you know. How's the mindset going into, you know, that? How are you approaching this weekend, I mean, or next weekend, and, you know, what's going through Connor Daly's head?
Well, it's just anticipation. I mean, I love every lap that I've done so far in this car, but it's only been like an hour and a half that we got at the test, so I just can't wait to get more. Obviously we have a big test plan that we're going to go through. We got to try and figure out how to make this car go as fast as possible, you know, by the end of the week, and that's going to be our plan. You know, me and my engineer are going to be working hard every day, and obviously we hope for some good weather to get through a lot of the stuff that we want to work on, but I'm just excited. It's just anticipation, just trying to wait. Count down the days. I mean, I'm my blood is boiling sitting here. I mean, I'm watching this, all this stuff happen, and I'm seeing my face above a garage, and I'm like, okay, like it's got to be at least a couple more days still. But you know, we're gonna try and celebrate Mother's Day with my mom. Obviously, have a good time. And once Monday and Tuesday hit, it's gonna be full business for sure.
Well, and I got to say, you know, everybody's always said, like, IndyCars kind of resemble fighter jets. Like, you legit have a fighter jet now. That's, I got to say, like, I've seen IndyCars for years. You know, you just got to be one of the best badass-looking cars I've ever seen, man.
Man, we're pumped about it. I love it. The fact that we have a diecast, too, I think that the fans are going to love it. So the Thunderbird livery last year was really cool, but I think we did even better this year for sure.
All right, man. Well, good luck at qualifying next week. You know, it's going to be fun to watch the ride, buddy, and, you know, congrats on the ride.
Thank you so much.
And Connor ended up having a phenomenal qualifying run. It was one of those, I think, you know, he put it in there just outside the top 10. And I really think he had a shot at Fast 9 if he wanted to. One day he closed out qualifying with – or he closed out practice with the fastest time of the day and or speeds of the day. And you know, he went into qualifying day and put down a great run, you know, complete opposite of what he did the year prior. But you know, I think Connor's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and I mean that in the best possible way. This dude and the rumors floating around the IndyCar paddock, you know, is that literally Air Force, they've got some budget, and Andretti would love to field him full-time, and there's an opportunity. If he puts a good showing in at the Indy 500, that Air Force may go, hey, we're going to sign on for a few more races this year. So, man, you know, this is – I love Connor Daly. The story, obviously, raced for Foyt, you know, and that team, you know, has their struggles. And then, you know, he – you know, obviously lost that ride. Tony Kanaan came in, and, you know, since then he's just been floating around. He did some IndyCar races last year, did the 500, did some sprint car races. You know, he did a NASCAR race. I know he and I have talked about getting him into an off-road car at some point. Like, you got to love a guy like that who, you know, he just grinds it out. He's a grinder, man, and he just keeps grinding and grinding and grinding, and he's going to make it, make a ride, and he's had his back pushed against the wall. He's come back swinging. Like, you got to appreciate a guy like that, and he told me, he's like, Jimmy, he's like, if it's got wheels and an engine, he's like, I'll drive it. I don't care what discipline, who, what, when, where, why. He's like, I want to drive, and he's like, I just want an opportunity in anything and everything, you know? And he's a throwback, man. He will get into anything and everything, wheel it, drive it. Even if he doesn't, you know, even if he knows it's going to be a struggle, like, he likes that challenge of driving something and having to learn its nuances and learn how to drive it, you know? And I can appreciate that. A lot of guys won't get out of their comfort zone. Connor's one of those guys. He will, and it's going to make him an even better driver long term. So, big thanks to Connor Daly for the time out there at Indy. So we're going to take a short break. We come back. It's Zach Veach right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by, that's right, Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound, the sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a few.
Yeah, once again, check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits in the world. Doesn't matter if you're a soccer mom, you're an action sports star, you're a professional race car driver, dirt bike rider, or, just a hunter, fisherman looking to, have a little bit, have a new first aid kit. They definitely have you locked and loaded. Rolling with these Indy 500 interviews, and our friends at Andretti Autosport. This was another one that I did out there, and he's become one of my favorite guys, very well spoken. He's got an amazing story as well. You guys, you know me by now, I'm a sucker for a good story. Zach Veach definitely has one. So I was able to catch up with Zach Veach, who he's been on the show earlier this year as well. I think right around Long Beach time, possibly. But so Zach Veach, able to catch up with him out there at the GP. And here's Zach Veach. All right. So we had you on the national show, I'm thinking like a month ago at this point, but you just brought something up. This is Zach Veach, obviously, we've got here catching up with me. But it's like 1 year to the day. I think we were standing in the same exact spot almost. Got you back on the show. But welcome back to the show, Zach. And I guess we're here at Indy, and that's always, it's always exciting.
Yeah, man, thanks so much for having me. It's so good to see you in the flesh again. We got to talk on the phone for a little bit, but it's always good to be in person with someone. So, yeah, man, we're here in Indianapolis. We're starting the month of May, and, of course, that means the Indy 500 here in a couple of weeks, but we got the Indy GP first.
Well, that being said, and I know this is kind of an odd year. Years past, we're talking about Indy 500, not necessarily GP, but you guys have always had, some kind of oval race before the Indy 500. So, how do you adjust that going into Indy, knowing like you didn't have Phoenix, this year or something? It's like your first big oval is like the biggest race of the year.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something we've thought about, and it's a little frustrating, yeah, because I love the ovals. I've always done well on them, then it's always been something that suited me really well. So it's always nice when you have an oval race, the second or third race of the season. But with IndyCar, you have to be adaptable. You have to be good at all different types of tracks and all different types of schedules. And the Indy 500 still means exactly the same. And hopefully, yeah, it lets us all kind of crack our nerves a little bit better with it being the first oval. We just all have to be smart. Luckily, we get like a week of practice to slow us all down. That helps.
Well, you know, and that being said, I know we talked last year, and, you know, and it was your rookie season. You know, now, you know, obviously you'd run the Indy 500 before. But going into this year, you know, it's kind of your sophomore season. You know what most of the tracks look like. I mean, how is this year? I know, you know, you're always learning. Probably results aren't quite what you want them to be yet. But, I mean, what, you know, how are you feeling about year number two and what you're learning on a, you know, week-to-week basis?
Yeah, it's something new every weekend still. I think second year tends to be a little harder than the first year maybe just because you have enough experience to know what to do, but you still don't have it all figured out. So this year has been a little up and down for us, but so far, you know, things have kind of been turning around for us, which this is the time in the year that you want them to turn around to have that good peak right at Indianapolis, because there's one race you want to win all year long. It's the Indy 500, and for us with Andretti Autosport, we know we're going to have some great cars.
So that being said, I mean, what have you learned about this place? I mean, obviously, you know, you're lucky that, you know, this isn't your second go around the Indy 500. I think you've raced this road course before and, you know, in lights. But, you know, what have you learned about this place in general? Because whether you're running the GP or, you know, the Indy 500, I mean, you know, and running the big oval, I mean, this is special. But, you know, we know that things can change here, you know, any given minute. Like Alex said, he goes, you know, last year we were in the fast nine and then we were like all the way on the back row for qualifying on the second day, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. Because this place changes so much with just 2 degrees of track temp. You know, a piece of sun comes out from a cloud cover and you can be first, and that changes the track enough to be like Alex was saying, you're 22nd and you're like, what the heck just happened? But that's what makes this place such a fun puzzle to solve, because no one has it figured out, and you just want to make sure that when the puzzle breaks on race day, it's in your favor.
Well, and talking about race day, I know, you know, month of May, you guys, it's kind of something special. And I know we talked about it, you know, a few weeks ago, but this really kind of puts it into perspective. I mean, you know, your sponsor is the title sponsor of the Indy 500. I got to say, very few drivers have ever been fortunate enough to have that happen, man. How's that feel going in here?
It's definitely a little insane and incredible at the same time. I mean, all this came together through a phone call from my pastor, basically. It led me to the right person, Dan Tauris, the CEO of Group 1001 in Gainbridge. And, yeah, we were lucky enough to turn him into a pretty big race fan, starting with the 500, then a full season of IndyCar, and now sponsoring the Indy 500. It's incredible to see the growth in a very little amount of time, and a driver hasn't won the Indy 500 with the same sponsor as the race is on their car, so it'd be cool to make history in that way.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and that being said, you know, you've got, you know, these amazing partners and things like that, you know, do you feel like, you know, you've got this backing, you know, you've got these people that believe in you, you've got an amazing team. I mean, you got to feel, do you feel like you've got some added pressure?
I mean, I think pressure is a privilege, you know, being in a situation like this, you have these incredible people around you because you've done things for people to believe in you in the past. So it's always good to be with Andretti because you know you're going to have good equipment. And to have a sponsorship program with Gainbridge and the people that are just a part of that is so fun for me, because we align on such a moral value level of helping the community first and foremost. And at the end of the day, they allow me to go do something really fun each weekend as well.
Well, and I think that's one thing special. You know, it's like you we say the off season, but, you know, you're always, you know, doing something, you're giving back and things like that. And I know that's, you know, a big part of just you as a person. You know, you're always involved with something, whether it be, you know, driver safety or, you know, so many different community service organizations and things like that. You know, tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the other stuff you're involved in.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm from a very small town in the Midwest of Ohio. So, you know, if someone needs help, you help them. And life has just always been kind of having that focus, you know, ever since I was young. I think that's just how I was raised, that you try to do what you can to help folks. And for me, I've done a lot with anti-texting while driving, because I lost a close friend of mine due to that. Anti-bullying, because I went through quite a bit in middle school when I told kids I wanted to be a race car driver. And now I have my very own STEM educational program in schools throughout the country, where I'm teaching kids about the different jobs in motorsports and how I use
simple everyday math inside the race car to go out and hopefully win on a Sunday.
It's funny you mention that because this is totally us getting off track. This is probably like we need to get on a podcast after the month of May and talk about this because I like STEM, my daughter now, she's like into they've got robotics in school and she's like 10 years old and they're like coding robots and like the stuff that these kids at 10 are knowing. And you talking about the motorsports application, but I'm like, man, these kids now know so much more than I did at that age. And it's like it's got me excited not only for the future motorsports, but just like the next generation of kids coming up because I think, you know, what they're going to be able to apply to the motorsports space and everything else is just going to be insane.
Yeah, most definitely. I think we're about to see another leap forward in technology. You know, I think the past 30, 40 years, we've seen big gains, but now it seems like it's all building up to do something incredible. And for that, we're going to need a heck of a workforce. And, you know, I was one of the last kids that was lucky enough to have kind of a childhood outside. You know, I really didn't get my first phone until I was like 13 or 14 and iPads weren't around. So for me now, you know, especially with one of my partnerships, the Indy Women in Tech Championship, which is the LPGA event that comes through Indy, they're fully focused on just showing young females the different jobs out there through STEM and, of course, robotics. That's been such a big thing with kids is robotics lately because, as you were saying, they can figure out how to code, they figure out how to build this machine, and then it goes out and does exactly what they wanted it to in their mind in the first place. So I think it's a great way to get kids interested on all the possibilities of being behind a computer.
So, you know, that being said, obviously we got qualifying today. We got GP. We got qualifying next weekend. I mean, how are you? We're just day one into the month of May here. How are you approaching everything? Is it day by day? I mean, are you looking at the whole picture of the month? I mean, what's going through Zach's mind right now?
Day by day, for sure. You know, with this event, everyone loves the Indy GP, but I think in the back of their mind, everyone's already thinking about the Indy 500. So, for us, it's just trying to get through this weekend, get some valuable points as we can, and then just take day by day of Indy 500 practice getting ready. You know, this year we have 36 cars trying out for 33 spots, so bump day is a thing, and three people will be going home. So luckily with Andretti Autosport, they make that job a little easier to get into the field, but it's still not easy, being said. So we got a lot of work to do over the next week to make sure, first and foremost, we're in the race. And secondly, we're in a place where we can win it.
All right, Zach. Well, it's always fun catching up. Good luck today. Good luck at the 500, and we'll talk soon, buddy.
Yeah, thanks so much, man.
Yeah, that was Zach Veach, and really, really well-spoken kid. I love interviewing Zach, and like I said, he's got such an amazing story. He does a lot behind the scenes with charity work and schools and kids and, you know, does a lot of speaking engagements. He's just one of those quality guys. You're number two of this, I think, three-year contract he's got with Andretti. And, you know, he's had some teething issues here and there. I know we saw, like, last year at Long Beach, man, finished fourth place and, you know, just had a great run there at Long Beach. And, you know, he qualified in. He was never, you know, qualified in. He was, you know, kind of towards the back for the Indy 500, but he's one of those never even close to being on the bubble of getting bumped or anything like that. So good to see Veach solid in the show. You know, he's one of those. He's not the most exuberant driver, and I think he's going to be very cool, calm, collected. You're going to see him work his way through the field coming this Sunday. Should be one to watch coming. He's going to let the race come to him. It's a long race, and I think he's one of those. Definitely count on him. You know, sneaking around the top 10 as the race comes to a close on Sunday, and I don't know, maybe able to make a run at the podium. We'll see. It's going to be tough coming from the back though. But like we saw last year, Alexander Rossi did just that. So yeah, definitely one to watch on Sunday. And we're going to take a short break, and speaking of Alex Rossi, he's next right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Do you
race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500 or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, and you know, just getting ready to continue on with these Indy 500 interviews. And you know, I guess you're talking Indy 500, you got to talk about one of the biggest splashes in IndyCar the past couple of seasons. You got to talk about Alexander Rossi. What was going to be a one-off with Napa going into the Indy 500 a couple of years ago at the 100th running, boom. Napa signs on a couple of days before the race. He goes out and wins the race. Napa signs on with Rossi. Now, you know, a couple of years later, you know, you saw him make a run at the championship last year, down to the wire. You know, he's a front-running contender for the championship this year as well. You know, he's become a staple and one of the faces of IndyCar. You know, he's an American driver, went to Formula One, came back, and now he's, you know, like I said, one of the faces of IndyCar and one of the biggest names in the sport. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to really kind of get to know Alex the past few years. You know, especially last year with him going to off-road and doing some stuff at the Baja 1000, and just a class act dude, and you know, always fun to catch up with him, and had the opportunity to catch up with him last week, you know, right before the Indy GP. So here is Alexander Rossi. All right, we got my buddy Alexander Rossi here, and I don't know. I'm looking, and I'm like, last time we caught up, I think it was right around Baja 1000. You're getting ready to go into my neck of the woods, and I don't know if we've even caught up since then. But you've been kind of like the Renaissance man over, I guess, over the winter break. I know, doing some IMSA racing, and you know, ran at Daytona there, Baja. I mean, you know, that had to have been a pretty fun off season for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, pretty grateful to Honda for kind of providing those opportunities, obviously with the Honda Ridgeline and down in Mexico, and then with Acura Team Penske and in the DPI car. So it was good to stay busy. The IndyCar series has a pretty long off season, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. Did three races: Daytona, Sebring, and then obviously the Baja 1000, which was an amazing experience.
So that being said, the DPI car, and this is just honestly fan question here, like, what's the difference in that? I mean, because things, you know, I've sat in those cars and stuff like that, and those things are crazy technology, but compared to, you know, one of those on a road course versus, you know, the car you're running here in IndyCar, what's the biggest differences?
Really just weight. I mean, I'd say they're pretty similar in terms of, you know, vehicle dynamics, and, you know, an IndyCar has a bit more power and is a little bit lighter, so that's why you see kind of a 3 to 5 second gap depending on the track, but at the end of the day it's basically just an open wheel car with some fenders and a roof over it. But yeah, it was cool. I mean, endurance racing is a whole different mindset and approach and kind of methodology to going about a race weekend, which was good to be a part of, but that's all behind us now. We're focused on the day job.
So, well, that was the first Baja experience. I know there was the one rad video you, I think it was coming through Ojos, where you damn near clipped the car that you didn't even know you clipped until you got out of the truck. But that was the first Baja experience.
Oh, I loved it, man. I loved every minute of it, from when we got down there to do the pre-running to the actual event itself, the build-up. There wasn't one thing that I wish was different or would have changed other than obviously winning our class. But yeah, it was good. It was a good learning experience. I think that going back next time, you know, I'll have a lot better understanding of kind of, you know, what silt means and kind of the things you're looking for in terms of pre-running and everything that goes into that. And yeah, I'm paying very close attention to what Jeff Proctor and his team are doing this year so far, and it seems to be going well. So hopefully the opportunity comes again come October, November time.
All right. So that brings us to, I guess, 2019. Started things off. I know you're right there sitting second in points. Big win there at Long Beach. I mean, how you feeling about 2019? I know, you know, 2018 was a weird year. That was a year I think everybody thought you were going to win the championship. And, I mean, you guys had the car and the program to do it, and it was oh so close. So, I mean, how's the approach in 2019? What did you guys change in the offseason going into this year?
We really didn't change anything. It was more kind of analyzing 2018 and seeing, you know, the deficits that we had when you look at the season as a whole. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think that we did a lot of things right. There was a couple of things that didn't fall our way. From a luck standpoint, there was a couple of mistakes that we made. And to be perfectly honest, to beat Scott in the 9 car, you have to be perfect for 17 races. So at the end of the day, we were a little bit short. But, you know, I think we've carried the same performance and pace into this year. And, we've had a strong race car, good results. And it's just about keeping that through all the tracks, even when you don't have the car to win. You need to be in the top five, and you need to just be collecting the points. And then the days that you do have the car to win, you have to capitalize on it and make sure you get it done. So we're in the month of May now, big couple weeks coming up here. And this is the crunch time of the season. We've got IndyGP, the 500, a doubleheader in Detroit and Texas, all kind of piled on top of each other. So a lot of points can be won and lost in this time period.
Well, that being said, I mean, you guys went into Long Beach, just dominated that weekend. I mean, it was, you know, you were pretty much the only story coming out of that weekend. You know, how do you carry that momentum, you know, I guess around a month later into, you know, right here at the GP? You know, it's, you know, different style track. It's, you know, proper road course instead of a street circuit. But, you know, how do you take that momentum, apply it to what we're at this weekend?
I think what, you know, winning a race early in the season does is it allows you to kind of get that monkey off your shoulder. And they say the first win of a season, the other ones come easier, and I definitely say that's the case. So, you know, it is, as you mentioned, a completely different track, different approach, different philosophy to going quick around here versus Long Beach. So it's what makes this series so special. Like, you have to be so versatile on so many different types of tracks and be able to adapt week in and week out. And this place is definitely unique and requires its own little tricks and things you need to do to make a car fast. But it's equally as important as all the rest.
So, you know, looking at, I guess, the bigger picture month of May, we got to talk about Indy 500. I know, you know, last year you were kind of the story of the race. Obviously, you're the story of every single Indy 500 now that you've got, you know, you've got one of the wins. But, you know, I know qualifying last year, you guys, you know, kind of played a bit of a game. You got, you know, I think the car that you ended up having in qualifying was, you know, it sounded like it was quite a bit to handle. You didn't qualify where you want. You immediately, you know, came through the field. You ended up finishing really strong. You know, that being said, I mean, we saw what happened to Hinch last year. Is there, you've been that guy now where you were nervous about qualifying in, you know, for one reason or another. How do you approach qualifying and, you know, knowing that we're going to have bumping and, you know, and everything that goes into, you know, just the crazy weekend we've got ahead of us?
I think the fortunate thing for us was the way the bumping worked. It was on Saturday. So we were a fast 9 car on Saturday. We just missed the fast 9 and were 10th. So we were secure in the field. But the what we dealt with last year on Sunday, qualifying 32nd, it just goes to show that nothing's really guaranteed here. And you can be great one day and show up the next and have an issue. So, bumping's back. I think it's a great thing for the sport, for the fans, for really everyone involved except for the people that don't make the race, right? So you just have to make sure that you put yourself in a position to succeed. And, you know, with the pedigree of Andretti Autosport and what we know we're capable of, I mean, it's really about minding our P's and Q's more than anything to ensure that doesn't happen to us. But there's, like I said, there's no guarantees, and you got to make sure that you respect every day that you have here and you capitalize, you know, when you go out on track and each lap, make sure that you make the most of it.
So, you know, all this being said, you know, we're, you know, you're a few years in here now to IndyCar, and I know it started off and you came in with a bang, obviously won the Indy 500. I mean, you know, how have you seen, I mean, we've had some new cars since then. How have you seen the sport change? And I mean, you guys, it seems like everybody's getting quicker. Everything is getting closer. I mean, how have you had to adjust since you came in just a, you know, a few short years ago to now?
I think the biggest thing is, I mean, the sport's growing in a really strong and positive direction. We're seeing new tracks added to the calendar. The car count is stronger, really, than it's been in the past decade. The competition, as you mentioned, is incredibly tight. I mean, we see the top 10, top 15 cars separated by 3 or 4 tenths pretty much every weekend. So, in terms of me personally, I don't know that I've had to change a whole lot. It's just, you know, with each year that goes by, you have more understanding of the tracks and what you need to do to execute and win races and all of that. So I think it's everything. I don't know that it's one thing in particular. It's just each time you get into a race car, you grow and you learn. And fortunately, I've had a really strong team of guys around me since day one. And to be a rookie and to come into a team of this size with the resources that it has made a really big difference and a positive impact on where we are today.
Well, and I know you guys here at Andretti, you and your fellow drivers, you have a good time, but I end up catching up with Ron Capps earlier in the week and had him on the show, and I didn't realize all the Napa guys, you guys have a good time behind the scenes also.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, motorsports in general is such a small community, whether it's IndyCar drivers or Cup drivers or NHRA drivers. At the end of the day, we all have the commonality of being a little bit crazy in the head. And, you know, yeah, there's a couple Napa events that we all do a year, and why not have a good time and make it fun and instead of just not talking to each other and signing hero cards. So it's great to be able to have that type of relationship with fellow drivers and competitors, which is something that's very dynamically different than what I had in Europe. In Europe, you know, other drivers were your worst enemy and you had to beat your teammate at all costs. And that resulted in really not having a lot of friends in the motorsport industry, whereas, you know, racing in America and the culture of motorsports here is so much different. It's a much more enjoyable time. And, yeah, I've made some great relationships and have a lot of friends here.
So before we let you go, how are you going to attack qualifying later today?
I don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. We're in between practice two and qualifying right now. And, you know, I think we've made a step forward from practice one. But as we talked about, it's so competitive. I mean, Ryan was 400s quicker than me and 6 spots up the road. So you just got to put it together and be perfect. And hopefully, you know, we advance to the Firestone Fast 6 and can go on from there.
All right. Thanks a lot, Alex.
No worries. Thanks.
Alex Rossi, interviews never disappoint. And right now, as we speak, you know, I could go on and talk about Rossi for days because, you know, I love the cat and what he's been able to accomplish. But big news coming out of IndyCar, it's starting, well, not IndyCar, but I guess the media. You know, the big news, you know, obviously we've talked about in this show is Alonso being bumped from the field, you know. And we've seen in the past where drivers have, or teams have gone in and bought a seat from another team, another car or something like that, you know. So, you know, it's swirling. Hey, is McLaren going to buy a seat, get Alonso in the 500, you know, and all this other stuff? Well, come to find out, they are not. So I know that Jill DeFerrin said, no, we're not going to do that, you know, this and that. Well, rumors swirling, sponsors still wanted them in the field. I guess they talked to Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport about possibly taking Oriel Servia's seat. Alonso stepped in and said, look, man, he's like, if they wanted to put our car in the field at the end, I'm good with it. But, you know, which they're not going to do. They didn't do it for Hinch last year or Pippa or anybody. You know, there's only 33 cars and that's the way it is. But Alonso goes, look, he's like, I don't feel comfortable taking somebody else's seat for another team that actually qualified in the field and beat me. You know, he goes, they got in, they deserve it. That's not my style. I won't do that. I don't feel comfortable doing it. And then driving for that other team, you know, so it wouldn't be like, you know, Alonso's McLaren actually got in. It would be Oriel Servia's car got in and, you know, Alonso would be driving that particular car, whether they rebranded or whatever, that's to be told. But, yeah, so it's interesting. You know, I think Alonso taking the high road, McLaren taking the high road, they're taking it on the chin. Hey, we weren't good enough. Whether they're back or not, to be determined, but should be interesting interesting to see what happens over the next week. Definitely, I think it is interesting because I think it's definitely going to hurt TV ratings, at least in Europe. United States, I don't think it'll move the needle one way or another. You know, it's definitely going to hurt European ratings, or, you know, I think. But I think this is probably, you know, we've got a lot of F1 elitists that think that IndyCar is beneath them. I think for McLaren to come in and actually have this failure, I think it legitimizes, not that we didn't think it was legitimate, but I think a lot of Europeans saw it as, you know, basically the undercard. And I think this right there proves shows, hey, the IndyCar's the real deal. When McLaren and Alonso can't get in the field, man, that's a big statement on how good IndyCar actually is, how competitive. So I think this is actually might be a positive. I applaud McLaren for taking it on the chin and moving forward. Hope to see them back. So that's where we're at. We are going to take a short break, and we'll be back to wrap things up right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Do you race, or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right. Well, welcome to, the last segment of the show. Big thanks to Alexander Rossi, Zach Veach, Connor Daly, and all my friends at Andretti Autosport. Not only that, but Colton Herta and the team there at the team there at Harding Steinbrenner. Man, it's just, for those interviews last week, Schmidt Peterson and the team over there at, that helped me get Hinch on the show. Just been a remarkable, remarkable run, of IndyCar interviews. I don't know anybody in radio who's had the guests that we've had the past few weeks. It really, really, truly has been insane. I've got so many good friends in IndyCar and just thankful for everybody that goes about for the show and everything else. So been a good run. Obviously this weekend lots of events. We got Monaco, Indy 500, NASCAR, Baja's a couple of weeks out. It's a wild one, man. This is one of the biggest weekends in motorsport, and rightfully so. We'll definitely be locked and loaded next week. I'm going to be at Charlotte this week for the ARCA race and NASCAR qualifying. If you're there on site, hit me up. I would love to catch up with you guys and just have a good chat. So, we are, we're going to sign off here in a second, but big thanks to Polaris Racer, General Tire, Four Wheel Parts, Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, MotoShield Pro, Blue Water Resort and Casino, Dirtfish, coupon code JBDirtfish, 15% off at Dirtfish, MyMedic, use the coupon code JimBeaver, it'll get you 15% off there at MyMedic.com. Make sure and follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media, on all forms of social media, but we've also got a couple other accounts at Down and Dirty Show and at Dirt Daily Media on Instagram as well. Check those out and make sure and go to the website downanddirtyshow.com. Check out our big Indy 500 preview. We've got a whole e-magazine dedicated to it. Man, we got a few thousand viewers already to that in like 24 hours. So make sure and check out our magazine. It's right on the front page of the show. We will sign off. See you in Charlotte later this week and back here on the show here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor next week. Have a great week. See you next time.